came to realize that writing was hard, damned hard, and with relief abandoned it till my mid-twenties at University College Dublin. Now I was reading Camus, Beckett, and all the other fashionably in writers. A friend, Mary Healy, encouraged me to submit pieces, and I had a little success on Irish radio and on BBC. But I was more interested in playing at writing than actually doing it. Drinking pints in the Bailey and scribbling till I was overcome by Guinness, I still preferred to read. John McGahern, Brian Moore, Edna O'Brien above all. But also John Broderick, Patrick Boyle, Brian McMahon, Ben Kiley, O'Connor, O'Fuilan, O'Flaherty. I attempted to become a journalist, buying a typewriter from the proceeds of a Friday night pools round. I received no replies to my badly typed applications and relinquished my dreams of glory on Grub Street. A few years ago I returned to writing when Áine O'Connor forced me to submit a piece to Anne Harris at Image, a magazine in Dublin. She in turn encouraged me and later commissioned further efforts. John Waters of McGill Magazine came to hear of my scribbling and asked me to do a column for him, and some of these pieces are incorporated here. At school I used to write essays for other students, experimenting with different styles and themes, and took secret delight in their being read and graded by the teacher. That was when I most enjoyed writing. Then my only real ambition in life was to be Dylan Thomas. After 30 years, his work still has the power to thrill me, like that of no other writer. He is my all-time literary hero. With pictures in my head, I set out with no clearer purpose than to let go images that had, as William Trevor says, become snagged in my memory. In releasing them, I hope the listener enjoys them and identifies, and in the process comes to know something of my spirit. I'm sitting by the Rio Grande. New Mexico stretches away endlessly. I am working with two old friends from the Apollo Picture House in Walkinstown, Robert Mitchum and Jack Palance. I'm still playing cowboys. And the sky seems as blue and innocent as it always did back then. And for just a few moments I can believe that nothing has changed. And that's the magic. Santa Fe, New Mexico, November 94. A happy little song in my secret soul. We are standing outside the Rotunda Hospital, my mother and I. In her arms, my newly born brother. The wind slaps his blanket into his face. My mother's hand moves it away. Poor baby, she says. You'll get your end. I am cold. I stamp my feet to keep warm. We are waiting for my Uncle Joe to collect us. A body could be dead, waiting, she sighs. She looks first one way, then the other. An old woman with a shopping bag looks at my brother.
Is it a he or a she, missus?
It's a he, says my mother.
God bless him and long life to him. Do you like your new brother?
She asks. I hide behind my mother's skirt. The wind makes it flap.
Are you shy, boy?
Says the old woman. When she smiles, her teeth are stained with lipstick like blood. At long last, says my mother. Uncle Joe's vegetable van pulls onto the pavement. He jumps out. He has on his brown work coat. He runs to the back door, but he cannot open them. They are tied with twine.
Jesus,
he says. He spits his cigarette onto the road. Finally, the doors come free. He turns and smiles. About time, says my mother.
I can't be in two places at the one time, you know, says Uncle Joe.
He takes my hand. My mother looks into the back of the van. You're not serious.
What? I can't go in there. You don't expect me to go in there on top of the vegetables. Oh, where do you want to go? On the roof, says Uncle Joe.
Not till you clean up a space, the least you could do, says my mother. Uncle Joe is on his hunkers in the van. There are bags of onions and potatoes and scallions and turnips and tomatoes and sprouts and all kinds. There's also a weighing scale. Uncle Joe takes the baby from my mother. My mother says yuck as her knees squash a tomato. She is on her hands and knees. Uncle Joe follows behind. He places my brother on the weighing scales.
Whoops-a-daisy,
he says.
Are you crack? Give me that child before you kill him stone dead. Jesus, look, says Uncle Joe. He weighs 2.5 stone. Not even the weight of a small bag of spuds.
You think he looks like me?
Why would he look like you?
Well, being brother and sister.
Does he look like a dunderhead? Happy Gobby doesn't, says Uncle Joe. Well, then there's your answer, says my mother. Always the bitter word, he says. There's always a queer smell from the back of Uncle Joe's van. The smell of rotten vegetables and fruit. Still, I like it in there. Sometimes I help him on his rounds, going round the roads, listening to him as he talks to the women who come to buy. In the summertime, the flies buzz round in there in the heat. Blue bottles the size of your fist. But today it's cold. Uncle Joe makes a face in through the window, crossing his eyes. My mother shakes her head and clicks her tongue. Then she smiles over at me. Uncle Joe slams the door closed. Then he climbs into his seat. Are we ready for takeoff? Just get on with it, for God's sake, and get us home. Through the window, I watch the street speed by. Uncle Joe is singing. I never felt more like a singing the blues, and I never thought that I'd ever lose your love, babe. You got me singing the blues. When the van stops, we all lurch forward for a moment. Then we straighten up. My mother is talking to my brother, smiling, making baby sounds to him. I'm taking the stones out of plums and spitting them to see if I can hit the back of Uncle Joe's head. My mother tells me to stop. We walk up the garden path. All the neighbors are out for a gawk at my brother, and they all think he's the bee's knees. I'm looking at my father's face. His face is afraid. He's running from the room, shouting for my mother. Come here, quick! What is it, she says, running from the kitchen. He's after poisoning the baby, my father says. They are looking at me. They are angry now. My brother is looking at me from his pram. Look, his face, it's turning blue, my father says. My brother wears a pointed pink woolen hat, and the turpentine I've given him to drink is dribbling from his lips. Now they are forcing a spoon into his mouth. There is a smell of vomit. I feel a smack of pain. The little whiskey bottle of turpentine spills to the floor. My father is shaking me. What kind of a devil is in you? I start to cry. Now I am afraid too. My mother is rocking my brother backwards and forwards in her arms. Now there is a strange man I do not recognize in the room. He has a black bag. He is listening to my father. I was just doing a bit of painting. He must have thought it was whiskey. You can't be watching them all the time. I like my brother. I like to tickle his feet with a goose feather to see him laugh and kick his legs. There's some class of a me-aw on him, doctor, my father says, nodding his head at me. And this isn't the first time he's done it either. I caught him trying to stuff a lump of turnip down the baby's throat a few weeks ago. Look at God, I came in, or he'd have been dead on us. The man with the black bag leaves. I sit on the windowsill where it's warm. I watch him go down the path. He turns at the gate and waves at me and smiles. I hear my father say, get out of that window. You're worse than an old cat. If I ever see you next or near that baby trying to give him anything again, I'll bait the lard out of you. Now go over there and say you're sorry to your brother. Go on. Tell him you're sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for trying to kill you. I didn't mean to. My brother makes a gurgly sound in his throat. He is playing with the coloured balls with stretch and a string across his crib. And he smiles at me because he doesn't know I tried to murder him. Even though I didn't mean it. We live on a road called after a mountain. All the roads are called after mountains. We know them by heart. Errigal, Brandon, Cooley, Ben Madigan, Mourne. All the houses are like our house, only some have different curtains and gardens. The Kennedys have a monkey puzzle tree. My father says it comes from Africa. Every day I see Mrs. Kennedy walking to the shops. She has a blue coat, her hair is red. She always smiles at me. Sometimes she gives me chalk ices. She says it's a present for me. She talks over the hedge to my mother, and she takes me and my brother for walks. We keep having to stop because he's always throwing things out of his pram. She says he's a heart scald and laughs. The hood of his pram is up, and over his head there is a little picture of the Sacred Heart which blows in the breeze, and a string with plastic giraffes and monkeys of all colours, which people are always moving over and back to make him look at. She likes to bring us for walks because she has no children of her own, and my father says she's practicing for when she has. She calls me her sweetheart. Where's me little sweetheart? She says when she comes into the house. My father tells her about the time I tried to murder my brother, and she says, oh, he'd never do that. Because he would, and he did, just because he's your favourite.